Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Lucy Sherratt works in Ottawa as a coordinator of the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network, also known as CBAN. CBAN is a campaign coalition of 17 organizations, including farmer associations, environmental groups, and international development organizations, all of which have various concerns about the application of genetic engineering in food and farming. We are fortunate to have Lucy on the radio today, and we're going to be talking about the merger of Monsanto and Bayer. Welcome, Lucy.
Hello, thank you.
So good to have you on today. So this is fairly fresh news of Bayer and Monsanto coming together.
Yes, on the last day of May, the Canadian government announced it had agreed to allow Bayer to buy Monsanto because these big mergers need to be approved by anti-competition bureaus around the world. So, in fact, the U.S. had just approved the merger, and before then, the European Union and Russia. So it was a long time coming where listeners may have heard about a merger between Bayer and Monsanto, but it did need to be approved by regulators, and our government, as well as the other major governments, have approved this merger between Bayer and Monsanto.
And what does this do about the control over seeds and pesticides?
Well, already there was too much corporate control in the commercial seed market and the pesticide market. Already, six companies controlled over half of the seeds and pesticides market. And now that concentration is down to four companies, where now this merger between Bayer and Monsanto, but also some other mergers between other major chemical, agrochemical companies and seed companies, mean that four companies now control about two-thirds of the global seed market and more than 70% of global pesticides. And this means that those companies are bigger than ever, have more economic and political power, and there's a lot of concrete types of impacts that can have on the ground for farmers and consumers.
And so now with them having all the genetically modified seeds, do they have the Roundup as well? These are the companies that have Roundup?
That's right. So Monsanto, until now, has been the biggest seed company in the world, and they have been selling most of the genetically modified seeds in the world. Over 80% of all the genetically engineered seeds have been owned by Monsanto, and Monsanto also has owned the patent to Roundup Ready, this glyphosate-based herbicide formulation that was the world's top-selling pesticide formulation. And those technologies, both the glyphosate-tolerant genetically engineered seeds and the pesticides that go along with them, are now owned by Bayer. The new company will be called Bayer. Bayer did need to sell off some of its chemicals and seeds just to make sure there's not too much consolidation over the same product. But it means now that, yes, those biggest and really over 80% of all the genetically engineered seeds in the world are these Roundup Ready or herbicide tolerant anyway, genetically engineered crops. And Bayer is now the big player, having eaten up Monsanto and most of its technologies.
Mm-hmm. When we look at Canada with Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, you know, they were considered our breadbasket, all the grains growing there. What's the percent now that are going organics? Is it still mostly people using seeds from these big companies and pesticides from the big companies?
We don't have those statistics in front of us at this moment. Organics is a growing sector, but faces a number of obstacles. And most of the grain grown in Canada is still conventional grain. Organics is still a very small part of the production, although it's growing and demand is growing and sometimes outstripping supply. And in fact, in corn, canola, and soy, over 50% of all of those crops are genetically engineered. Canola, it's almost 100%, and it's high for soy and corn. So some of the big crops in Canada, really it's just corn, canola, soy, and sugar beet, These are the genetically engineered crops where a lot of genetically engineered crops have been sold and commercialized, grown.
Mm-hmm. Is there help for our farmers if they want to make the change to go organic? Is there any funding or help from our Canadian government?
So we only marginally monitor the status of organics. That's for other organizations to do. There are some supports, but not enough. So we monitor the trajectory of the technology that threatens organics, because organic production does prohibit the use of genetically engineered seeds and other genetically engineered technologies, as well as adopting other environmental management, including the prohibition of synthetic pesticides. So what our contribution is to the question of organics is monitoring what's happening with genetic engineering and trying to also highlight issues like the contamination risk, something that's very present in our minds at the moment.
Absolutely. And does this Bayer merger, does this cost our farmers a whole lot more in the end?
Well, the merger could cost farmers a lot more. And we know this because in any sector, when there's this amount of corporate consolidation, one of the impacts is higher prices for products. That's just what happens. Everyone knows it. The research establishes it. And actually, seed prices have increased faster than any other farm input in North America over the past few years. And so farmers, if they're making money from growing their crops, they're actually paying a lot of money back to these companies that they buy pesticides and seeds from. And this is why actually we don't see a lot of money staying in the pockets of farmers. And why really there's a farm income crisis in Canada is because companies like Bayer own technologies that farmers buy, and they keep increasing the prices, and they keep increasing the risks that farmers absorb when they buy those technologies.
Mm-hmm. And how can farmers regain some control over the food that they grow for us? I mean, they hand over all their rights when they've bought into these companies.
Well, it is very difficult, and certainly when farmers grow genetically engineered crops, they're not allowed to save and reuse those seeds. So in some organic systems, depending on what farmers are doing, they're able to take a bit more control over those inputs because they're not necessarily beholden to big companies, and they can diversify their production, and perhaps necessarily so. But it is very difficult now that we have so much concentration, certainly in crops like corn, canola, and soy. If farmers are growing one or more of those crops, then likely they are depending on Bayer or another company that has a lot of control because those companies own a lot of the germplasm in corn, for example. Most of the research that these big companies are doing is on major crops like corn.
Okay. And you said they're not allowed to save the seed. Doesn't a genetically modified seed not actually go back to seed at all?
No, so that's incorrect. So genetically engineered seed will reproduce. That seed is hybrid seed, so it won't breed true. But the seed itself can be fertile in the second harvest if you were to replant that seed. What the companies have done is taken ownership over the new genetic sequences that are inserted into those genetically engineered plants, or the new genetic sequences that they've arranged. And, you know, many listeners may have heard of this other genetically engineered technology called Terminator technology, which would have actually made seeds sterile. That technology is not legal. There is an international moratorium on the use of Terminator technologies.
Okay, but that had been used before. That's over a decade ago now, isn't it?
It's an older technology. It is a goal of these companies to control the seed, and they are doing that through patent protection, intellectual property rights. And they will, if they have the chance, and certainly they did attempt to do so, they will try and control it technologically, meaning they would create sterile seeds if they could do so, either politically or logistically.
Okay, but Canada laws, or worldwide laws now, are that we can't have that.
Yeah, there's an international moratorium at the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, and in addition, at least one other country in the world has a ban on Terminator technology. We have asked the Canadian government to also ban Terminator technology. We think it's important that individual governments take a stand because it's such a risk to the future of our food system.
And when you look at Bayer, how many different kinds of seeds would they have?
I wouldn't be able to tell you at this moment, but their profile is across seeds and pesticides, but does concentrate on a few crops. Certainly Bayer and Monsanto were both big investors in canola, genetically engineered canola. And as I say, there's these few major crops of corn, canola, and soy that are the big money makers. They're the big export crops, and they're the crops that have been genetically engineered.
Okay. So, Lucy, when we look at all our vegetables throughout the stores, none of the vegetables are genetically modified then?
That's right. So Bayer and Monsanto actually did own a vegetable company, but those vegetables were not genetically engineered. So if we look as consumers in the grocery store, most fruits and vegetables are still not genetically engineered. In fact, the only fruits and vegetables that are genetically engineered is a papaya that's grown in Hawaii. And there are some squash varieties grown in the U.S. Very little is grown. And people may have heard of this genetically modified apple. That is not yet being sold in Canada. A small amount of genetically modified apple and genetically modified potato has been grown in the U.S. only and sold in the U.S. only. So if people are concerned about what's on the market, CBAN does maintain a list of genetically modified foods that are currently sold in Canada, and that is found at cban.ca/GMfoods.
Okay, well, that's really good to know because that gives us a large range of safety in buying from our grocery stores at this point. Is there any government legislation coming where the genetically modified grains will have to be written up properly so that everybody can see?
So for 20 years, Canadian consumers have been very clear that they want mandatory labeling of all genetically modified foods and food ingredients. And successive Canadian governments have resisted. And as recently as last May, a private member's bill for labeling was defeated in the House of Commons. However, the U.S. government has put forward proposals to try and compromise around the demand for labeling that would require disclosure of genetically modified foods is a very, very bad law. It's a very bad model, but it means that Canadians may soon see some form of disclosure or labeling if our voices are strong enough and if we can actually find a good model. That means not following what the U.S. is trying to do to protect the biotechnology industry, but follow the rest of the world for labeling of genetically modified foods. It's really critical at this point where, as you say, people have questions about which GM foods are on the market, and in particular around fruits and vegetables and even GM fish.
Okay, yeah, and we did have a discussion on that back not so long ago. Lucy, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about what happened in Alberta with the possible contamination with some genetically engineered wheat. So we'll be right back after a break.